How are we ever going to do a program today?
It's bad day with fog and rain. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again. We're broadcasting from our laughing studio here, number 4, high above the Metropolis Zoo. What's the title of this?
Newark, New Jersey.
High atop Newark, New Jersey, where once again it's indeed a rare privilege for Bob and myself to broadcast to all of you folks out there along Radio Lane, so to speak. Ken and Bill are again. That's good to be laughing.
What color do you call that, Bill, that jacket you're wearing today? Wine?
Burgundy.
Burgundy, eh?
We're not supposed to look for something in a burgundy container today.
Too bad we don't have Supreme with us anymore.
Lady Borden found ice cream.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, it is funny, Billy.
Bill is outfitted today, friend.
Why don't you just parade around the studio?
what
everybody sees is so they can all laugh.
Oh, what a beautiful thing. Yeah. What a jacket.
Actually, he's
wearing the musician-type jacket. You've seen them around, friend. It's being sported by some of the more famous name bands.
His hair is caught in a bun at the top.
It's caught in a bagel, let's face it, Bob.
And it isn't the first bun Green has been associated with either. But be that
it's as it may. It's a burgundy jacket with no collar. You know, one of
those
things.
Sharp things.
Well,
yeah.
It's a cardigan type, and it is. It's a
dream. Is that a cardigan?
And, actually, Bill, who made that for you? Omar the tent maker?
That's to be Omar.
That was a good one.
That's to be Omar if he's making anything for Green, huh?
Sure.
But, Bill, seriously, you have lost weight. And here to tell us more about it is your teacher and instructor, the famous weight-losing expert, Dr. Claudius von Sterling. Doctor?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
You'll notice that the doctor doesn't speak with any sort of an accent, although he is of German distraction.
That's right, I'm of German distraction.
And, Doctor, I understand that you personally were the consultant in the case of Mr. Green.
Yes.
How did he go? When he first came to you, how much did he weigh?
I have the figures here.
You have all the papers there on him, I see.
Mr. Green weighed, when he came to me, on August 15th, 1949, he weighed 342 pounds.
342 pounds, and Bill, of course, tips the scales today at a mere 125. How did he accomplish it? I'm concerned about him.
He's
fading away.
He is fading away. Old piano players never die. They just smell that way.
What did you do to make him lose all this weight?
Well, I put him on a strenuous diet.
I see. What did he eat for the last 2 years?
Mostly non-fattening foods.
Salads and green vegetables. Low-calorie beverages.
Any low-calorie beverages I included in his diet.
Well, you've certainly done a grand job. Who are some of the more famous people that you have helped to lose weight?
Sidney Greenstreet.
You worked on him, did you?
I worked on him. I worked on Lewis Stone. Got him down now. I worked on Johnny Weissmuller. Rubinoff
with his magic violin.
No, that's another Rubinoff. This is Al Rubinoff.
I see. Well,
he's not in any part of the movie with the show business.
I see. Well, you certainly have put Bill into shape, and we want to thank you personally because it's helped the program all around.
That's a very good all around. That's very funny.
So long.
So long.
The Red Lion Inn was built in 1704.
Think of that, friend. Just think how long ago that was. That was before you and I probably were born.
It's on Route 1. You take Route 128 or 38 to Cohasset Center, and it's right there.
What route would you recommend,
Bob? Simple way.
So that we can try to plan an alternative.
Depends on where you're coming from. If you're coming from, Westwood, I'd take 128.
I see.
But on the other hand, if I were going from Hingham Center, I would take 38.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that clear?
Yeah?
You'll find a charming, congenial atmosphere there. And it's a lovely drive in the country.
Close the screen door, will you?
The food is terrific. The prices are moderate. The beverages are of your choice.
The beverages are of your choice, friend.
Now, if you ask, I would say if you ask 9 out of 10 people in Cohasset where they eat when they eat out, they would say that it's Red Lion Inn.
Backyard.
Well, that one person might say backyard.
I'm the 10th guy.
I see. You were the last one interviewed, eh?
That's right. I
believe you were the same man who made Bill Green lose all that weight.
I am.
We talked to you last week sometime.
That's right. I'm from Cohasset. I'm the 10th man there.
Uh-huh.
I've never
been
in.
The other nine... You've never been,
in the Red Lion Inn.
But the other nine people had.
So I understand.
But have you ever seen it?
Well, yes.
Uh-huh.
It looks very fine indeed to me.
It is. It's a fine place. But you have never...
I've never been
you've
in.
You've never been in.
But when I eat out in the backyard.
I see. How long have you been eating in the backyard, sir?
Well, every summer I go out there.
Do you mind trying our backyard test right here now?
I'm glad to do it.
You haven't received any remuneration for this at all. You've never met me before, have you?
No, I never have.
All right, will you eat a little bit in your backyard there now?
All right, I'll just go ahead now.
Just help yourself to whatever's there, and I'll help you. All right. You pipe through?
Yeah.
All right, now will you come over to my backyard and try this? Now, which backyard did you find easier to eat in?
I believe yours.
You thought ours was better.
Yeah.
Have any comment? You find it milder than yours?
I think the food was... I could digest my food quicker and more easily over here in your backyard than
in
mine.
In other words, you feel more full now than you did in your own backyard.
I feel a lot better eating in your backyard than I did in mine.
See, friends, what we're not trying to sell is our backyard. We try to sell you on the Red Lion Inn in Cohasset. It doesn't take much of a selling job, but it does take your visit down there. And so you make your own decision. Drop down this weekend would be a good time. And tell them that Bob and I sent you.
Go down there and celebrate Arbor Day. And
that isn't this weekend.
Oh. Well, celebrate something, and if you're going to celebrate something.
If you'd like to plant a tree, ask them. Maybe they'll let you. They're trying to decorate the place in spots and putting out shrubs and things.
How are the prices down there?
Prices are moderate. The beverages of your choice.
Listen, now let's go run through these cliches so that everybody will get it.
Well, let's say that these cliches are not from the Red Lion Inn. They're from the salesman who...
Yeah. All right, what kind of an atmosphere will we find there?
A congenial, charming, friendly atmosphere.
And the drive in the country is best described with these words...
Restful and peaceful.
The service is always...
We only had an automobile crash down at Bagnality Service.
The service is always...
Service is always courteous.
Prices are...
moderate.
And, well, that's just about all I can think of. Except that I do want to remind you once again of the Indian wall they built down there to protect themselves from Indians.
Funny part of it is, this Indian wall is only on the north side of the house. The other three sides were, in Indian days, obviously unprotected.
Either all the people were killed or the Indians were awful stupid.
We did check into the fact that the original management is not running the Red Lion Inn.
No, it isn't. No, we were all wet on that, so to speak.
And they set us straight in no uncertain terms.
Terms are always what, Bob?
Moderate. Over a long period of time.
You can enjoy the friendly 8-minute pay plan, too.
Now, you go down there and see if you don't think what we say is right. Now, Bill and Henry, Ken and Bill, with their first music
dashing in there. Oh, honestly. Don't you feel kind of shabby?
I think you fellows, now that you're a team and on records and everything, should start wearing the same clothes. Same clothes because Ken would never see you.
No, seriously, I think you should both show up with the same type of uniform. I was thinking that burgundy cardigan that you're wearing, Bill, would say a shot of lightning up the sleeve, giving it that radio effect. I think that'd be lovely.
Maybe a braid around the other shoulder.
And the call letters.
To take tours around.
How about call letters on his tie?
That would be good.
Or
a musical note.
HDH or something like that.
Or some call letters.
WFMFFM.
Or WTTV-TV.
And a microphone. I think that would be
But wild. Actually, the only thing I find wrong in your appearance today is the fact that those two leather bow ties you're wearing, they look as if you didn't tie them yourself.
They look ready-made.
Those are ready-made bow ties of leather, I think. Okay.
All right. Well, now that we have talked with our musical men,
They are prepared to play for us. You do. How'd you get that unusual effect? Like, like leaky pipes down something. Yeah, how do you do that? What things do you push over there? So when I like to come in here, you know, during a long ball game and sit at the organ there and make like I'm Ken Wilson.
You should be Jesse Crawford after that ball game the other day.
Yes. I like to practice. But anyway, be that as it may, friend.
Howdy, Bob and Ray, Ken, Bill, Charlie, Jimmy, Steve, Bill Barnyard.
Hello, Texas. How are you today?
Fine.
Good to see you.
Fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy?
That's right. From the song of the same name, folks.
Look, we have a paycheck for you today, Tex.
Well, I don't believe I should take it. I haven't been doing very much in the way of program material.
I guess you have. Of course you have, Tex. I don't know where we'd all be without you. And if you'll drop down to the office immediately following this broadcast, we will see that you are amply repaid for all the effort that you've exerted towards this program.
Well, Ray, I'm rather unaccustomed to this sort of treatment up here, and I would like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Now, we have some chances here we want you to take on the Bob and Ray sweepstakes thing.
Be glad to do that.
It's,
How much will it cost me? Exactly what the check we have made out for you.
See what that check it reads for. $480. Expense money, Tex.
Expense money.
And,
that's coming from the Roman house over here.
That's right. And $220 a ticket, and you'd want two, wouldn't you?
Yes, that's right. And that's what I'd want.
All right. Well, I'll just about cover it, and,
will I owe you any more money after I take these?
No, I can think of
even
right now. No, you'll be pretty even.
Oh, fine.
Uh-huh. Now, will you...
When is this sweepstakes going to be run?
Well, it's a futurity. We don't know just when. It'll be in the future.
Wait a minute. I think it did run the 28th of May past.
Oh, well, then it's a sure thing.
Yes. It will run. In fact, it has gone already.
Good. And it is something we can check on right away, and I'll know whether I won or not.
Let me look at the tickets. Nope, you didn't.
Well, that's luck for you.
Sure is.
That's the chances you take when you gamble.
You bet it is.
But now, you're happy, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I'm fine.
Would you like to blow this bugle?
You haven't got any more chances.
No, those
I'd take a couple more. I might find the lucky one.
Well, why don't would you?
Here, I got $480 in my pocket.
Yeah, take two more.
Wait till I get it out. Take these two. You know the winner. You know who the winner is.
Yes.
All right. Here's my two tickets. Who,
here are two more tickets.
Are those the two winners?
Well, let me see.
Either one of them win?
No.
Lost again, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's the gamble I took.
Well, don't take any more now.
You've lost
I think
enough.
We've taken enough of your money. Go over there and sit down.
All right, Bob.
Want to blow the bugle, Tex?
You're two good boys.
Thank you very much. Want to blow the bugle?
Yes.
Uh-oh. You're worse than anyone we've had on here.
That's right. I ran out of breath sooner.
Say, friend.
But I was milder.
We're going to try to get Mabel, the timetable girl, to blow that bugle one of these days. See if she has any better luck, because she can sing like
crazy.
Like the old Harry. Say, listen, listen, listen. There's a cool breeze blowing these nights at Wonderland Revere. Now, if you listen closely, you can hear it.
Betting down a hedges, man. Clamber up for a nor'easter.
Wait a minute. Hold it. It's not that cool down there. It's just a light breeze. Got a hurricane going.
So,
blow the poor dogs away.
So, won't you go to Wonderland tonight and enjoy yourself watching the most thrilling spectacle in sports? C80 thoroughbred dogs compete in 10 dramatic races.
Not at once, Mr. Oh, no.
Well, it's approximately 8.
They divide it up into 8 per race.
And then it'll be 10.
If you're telling the cocker spaniel that runs, it's really in the race.
No, he just runs around
with the rabbit.
Into the finish line. It's entertaining. It's terrific. No wonder people call dog racing
the sport of sport.
And it's easy to get to Wonderland Revere. You can take the MTA or drive. The roads are wide and pleasant. And the parking is free and easy. You get there early, don't you?
Well, who are you talking to?
Post time for the first race is 7:45. The daily double closes at 7:30. Yes, sir. The admission is still only 25 cents.
What is the atmosphere there at Wonderland?
The atmosphere is congenial and charming.
And what is it from the country?
It's a lovely, restful drive over there.
And what kind of service do you get?
Courteous.
And are the beverages? No, the line.
The parking is delightfully free.
And the prices are?
Moderate.
R80. Great. Oh, no.
The admission is still only 25 cents. Now, that makes Wonderland the world's biggest entertainment value. And when it's hot in town, remember, there's a cool breeze blowing at Wonderland Revere. Thank you for listening to me, and good night.
Now, Mary, it's your turn for something here, I think. Do you have any recipes today? This is about the warmest day we've had, isn't it?
Well, I haven't carefully checked. At all.
Haven't checked with the Weather Bureau.
No.
But we should have some kind of a cool, easy-to-prepare meal ready for our table tonight.
Well, why don't we go right ahead, then, with a New England boiled dinner?
Well, I think it's a little bit warm to have to stand in the kitchen and get all those things together, don't you?
Well, if you want to eat a New England boiled dinner, you're going to have to stand in the kitchen and get warm.
Well, I know, but I was thinking
of
something like...
You can't do this on dry ice.
I was thinking of something like a tomato aspic salad. Something cool.
Well, excuse me.
Well, not something cool like that.
No, I was thinking that often that's a mistake that so many of you homemakers make. You think just because it's warmer, Daddy Boy ain't hungry.
Well,
Daddy Boy is.
Very often he isn't.
Well, very
if he's
often,
eaten before he came home, he isn't.
Well, if you keep giving him tomato aspic, he will definitely have eaten just prior to his arriving home.
Well, I suppose that is
so
a
so if you want to avoid
problem.
The disappointment of having Daddy Boy thoroughly fed when
turn
he gets
up his
home,
nose at tomato aspic, then don't serve it.
Give him a good, rugged meal. He'll thank you for it.
Well, all right. If those are your words of advice for today, we'll let it go at that.
And garnish it with marshmallow fluff. Just an apple.
Well, look, it was all right up to that point. Now you're going to ruin it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about some potage florida?
Well, actually, that's Florida potatoes. You know,
it is? I thought it was a soup or something.
Well, it's potato soup potage.
Potato soup potage.
No, it's potato soup.
Sounds like something Roy Anderson will write next week.
Serenata, he wrote.
I know that.
He also wrote
So what?
Well, I thought you were asking songs.
No, but that potage sounds like a title that could be picked up by someone.
It sounds like a character in Tales of Two Cities.
Cynthia Potage.
So much of this reminiscing, folks. I think yes. I'll just go out on the front porch
right.
And swing.
Watch the screen door.
Here's the rope job.
Oh, stop that, you fool.
You know, I just looked at my watch, and you have time for another song today.
I just looked at my watch, and I have time to have it checked, I think, Bob, because I set it in the studio yesterday, and it's finally gaining so that my watch is correct now. And I think that the clock in this studio
clock is wrong.
Oh. Now then, what is it? I had many ones in view by Humphrey Bogart.
Sit in on another interesting caper with Mr. Tracy, keen over lost person. Tonight, Mr. Tracy is keening over the blonde dog murder case. Mr. Tracy, the kindly investigator, is sitting in his office discussing the blonde dog murder case with his assistant, Mike.
Mike, I'm rather perplexed about this case.
Absolutely keenly.
My face is up and dark.
It's certainly a large murder case.
That blonde dog has been missing for 3 weeks now, Mike, and we've got to get some kind of trace of it.
Well, we must keen, sir.
I'm loose.
Shall
we go after the culprit in the usual way?
Lost, keenly. Wait. But present immediately.
I'm lost, please.
A few hours later, the kindly old investigator and his assistant Mike are walking into Joe's cafeteria. We hear Joe say,
"What do you guys want?"
"Oh, and spaghetti, Joe."
"Mike?
I'll have some crazy cheese."
No person on that, please.
Joe, we came in here because we're on the tracer of lost blonde dog.
What's that?
We're looking for the blonde dog murder case.
So what are you looking, what are you doing, buying my stew?
We came in here thinking you might...
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the fact that the actor portraying the part of Joe has just left the studio, we conclude today's episode of Mr. Tracy, keen and lost, but he's missing.
He certainly is.
Tomorrow, we'll be back again with our program at 1 o'clock, and tomorrow morning, we'll be here from 6:35 to 9.
We've had an awful lot of fun presenting the show today from our back porch here in Friendly Valley.
We only hope we've enjoyed it just half as much as you have, but I don't think... one more of them sweepstakes tickets, or I might have a lucky one.
No more, please. I don't think we have any lucky ones. Outright, if you get Mark one at all, then hang by your thumbs. I'm sure that you'll agree it's milder. Much milder. We're a little early, so kill time.
Here, friends, it's a featured radio program.
If you're new to Boston, nowhere.
It's a matinee, and this is Bob and Ray. Bob is the other fellow. I'm Ray, and we're all
this is yesterday's show. I'm throwing away here.
We're going on record right now for the next half hour of gay, fast-moving, sidestepping, hilarious-type programming.
And banter.
And fast and chatty banter.
It's a beautiful afternoon.
Well, so I hear, but it may clabber up for rain. It may be raining now. Who knows?
Can't tell. We haven't looked out all morning.
We have, of course, Ken and Bill on the record here again today. And who needs them?
Well, it will be that much less for us, you see.
I don't follow that at all, Bob.
I mean, if they take 6 minutes out of the show with two numbers, we actually do 24 minutes. Then we have three commercials, each one of them 2 minutes long. That's 6 minutes, so out of 24, that leaves 18.
18 minutes for...
We've already talked 2 minutes, so that's 16 we're going to go.
All right. Well, good night, all.
And then we have to end 45 seconds early, so that's 14, 15 we're going to go. Pretty soon we won't have any time to go.
Well, if you keep talking, we're...
Good night, all.
Is there any special reason for the engineer hanging by his heels in the door? Is there any special purpose? Is that how they ride game on the show, or what?
Well, no, not usually. I've never seen that actually happen in the control room before.
New man, I guess.
He was hanging from the fire extinguisher that's in the ceiling there. Those things that start when the place gets too hot to handle, you know? But here to tell you more about fire extinguishers, oh, no, we don't have anybody here.
No.
But we do have several people in the studio that we're going to speak with a little bit later.
Down, Bill.
My car's all set for another 2 hours, huh?
They call me. I just seen Brady into one of my new hip tunes called Timetable Mabel, The Girl Who's in Love with a Train.
Actually, that's a very nice song.
It's 10 to 5. I think it's another Higgy Kamoko song.
Well, shall we listen to her? So soon, or shall we wait?
No, let's not. Well, let's just sit here for a while, Bob, and more or less chat about life in its many, many, many facets, so to speak.
And drink in the fresh, clear weather that we have here today.
Why not, Bob?
Very good idea.
Follow me onto the back 40. Anyone for croquet here?
Or tennis, or horseshoes? Or...
Anyone at all?
And?
Guess not. Well, let's just sit here some more. Then.
Nobody has any ambition today. What's the matter with everybody?
Well,
see where they've got seersucker pajamas? No.
What's that?
See where they're putting out seersucker pajamas? This is
liberal.
Seersucker suit, Webby.
Seersucker pajamas have been around for years. I remember having them when I was a wee one.
Is that so?
Yes, indeedy.
Well, I always preferred Dr. Denton's myself.
Well, it was a time and place for Dr. Denton's. Summertime isn't particularly ideal for it.
Yeah, I remember Alaska, where I was during my earlier years.
Why don't we review some of those more famous Sturdleys of ours when we were, say, up in Alaska, the Tundra region, and into Mexico when we climbed Popocatépetl.
We climbed that mountain down there.
That mountain. And,
well, I think the most exciting experience that we've ever had
probably
when we, the years we spent with small circus in a mid-European country. That was long before the war, of course.
Long before your time, you average listener.
We had a high-wire act, which was called by kings and princes alike. And we used to travel all through the mid-European continent, as it's called over
there. Mid-European country.
And perform this high-wire act, which was well-nigh impossible. In fact, many times we fell.
And hurt ourselves considerable.
But people continued to come to see us, possibly whether it was to see us fall, we don't know.
But we did, unfortunately, come to a parting of the ways with the commander of that particular circus.
See, up until this time, we'd always used a net for our act.
And this very night that we are referring to now, somebody either had forgotten to put the net out, or, by design, the manager had ordered no net.
I believe that was actually the case. I never did look into it. We got out as quickly as we could.
But I do know that we both fell, and we hit the ground with a resounding tattoo.
Quite a thud. We've never suffered any ill effects from it, however.
Not a nonce.
We're perfectly normal.
We're just like you.
We're sane. And we have taken up this avocation, radio.
Now to the pie-eating contest, and we have a couple of contestants here. Sir, your name is what?
Sherman McClure.
Sherman McClure. Will you talk on the microphone, Sherman?
Yes.
You are, as I understand it, the number...
Champagne pie-eater.
And you are wearing number one.
I'll be riding out of chute number one.
Eating what kind of
eating pie?
I see. All right, now.
I paint a mighty pretty picture.
Now, have you told the pie-eating manager just what kind of pie you want to eat?
I'm eating strawberry.
All right.
I find that the berries are easier to handle.
Mm-hmm.
That I can consume more strawberry pie than any other, save possibly chocolate.
Well,
you know how chocolate is in this warm weather.
Yeah, it gets real game.
All over.
And another thing I want to ask you about, on the strawberry pie that you eat.
I'm the only one who eats it.
Yeah.
The other contestants are eating lemon, coconut.
Rhubarb. I noticed there's one person down there with a frown on his face who's eating rhubarb.
That's right. It was a little green when they made the pie.
Actually,
of course, we
put the sugar in.
We pie eaters don't worry about the quality of the pie.
More or less easy as pie.
Yes, sure. It is easy as pie to do this, but it does take training. Now, get up to this point where I'm ready.
On?
I've been training on
rice
pie.
Rice pudding? Or?
Oh, no, pie.
How many?
You start with an Eskimo pie.
A small covered ice cream set.
That's right. Then you work up through Mother Frisbee's.
And then chicken pie, do you ever?
Sometimes in the evening hours, I go for chicken pie, beef pie.
Where do you practice your pie eating?
Anywhere I happen to be. Hayes Bickford's, wherever they serve pie.
Well, do you buy
it paints quite a picture sitting there in Hayes Bickford's.
Well, do you eat a whole pie or
I eat a hunk of pie.
I see.
My old fraternity.
I appreciate it. Have a keg of beer. It's mine.
Well, is this a beer drinking contest or a pie eating?
No, this is a pie eating contest. Now, sir, if you want to get back into your chute, we'll have your pies down to you in just a moment.
All right. And
close the door, assistant. Mm-hmm. Sure. Now let's interview the next person. The next fellow is quite a small little man. He only stands 7 inches in height.
Let's try that.
Get right up close to my phone and stand up on this big troller. We'll give you a little height.
All right.
Climb up on that big troller.
I'm up there.
How can you fly with such a little fellow?
Well, I never win. I never win because I can't eat as much as the big fella.
You eat the normal size pies that the other fellows
do?
No,
they bake small little pies for me.
About how big?
Well, about as big around as your fist.
Uh-huh.
But for me, that's as big around as a little bit of pie.
Good guy here.